evening and welcome. It's a brand new week, Monday night, and you're tuned in to the best in Paranormal Talk Radio. Darkness Radio is on the air. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Tim Dennis and Mally Fox have the night off. Thank you very much for joining me here. Fresh from our Phenomenology 105 appearance in Gettysburg. I think probably their best event by far. A lot of fun. Great times. Got to hang out with some good friends. Sitting in tonight, speaking of good friends, we've got producer Stan. Stan, it's been a while. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you, sir. Always a good time to be here, and always gets my brain moving towards the paranormal, and sometimes actually gives me some nightmares once in a while.
Well, understandably. Listen, I will tell you, we saw some crazy stuff out in Gettysburg this week. I get a great chance to talk to fans and friends of the paranormal from all around the world, literally come to this event. I think there were some people there from Australia, England, and then many different parts of the United States and Canada. So while we were there, you get to talk to all these people. I saw two, and I'll show you after the show. I don't have permission to post these, but I'm taunting our listeners as I'm going to try to get the photographer to allow me to post these on our site for a short period of time sometime this week. He showed me and goes, I got to tell you, I have two really cool pictures, which I always come at very skeptically.
Everybody's got the cool pictures, right?
Yeah. I'm always very skeptical about what we're going to look at because 9 times out of 10, it's garbage. It's dust orbs.
Yeah.
So, he goes, yeah, I caught a picture of an angel, which I'm a huge fan of angels. I always have been since I was a little kid. The whole theory intrigues me. Then he said, I also caught an image of a Civil War ghost, and not just any Civil War ghost, but like a major Civil War personality ghost.
See, now I think that ghost wouldn't be freaky to me. I think that would be more interesting. Like, I'd want to have a conversation with him and, ask him questions, rather than, some scary looking one.
Well, he got Jeb Stuart from the Civil War, who I guess was a big time leader in the Civil War. So I'm like, well, first of all, how do you know it's Jeb Stuart? How do we know what's going on? Blah, blah, blah. So he goes, well, just let me show you the pictures. I was thoroughly impressed by both pictures. I thought they were cool. I can't tell you that they're ghosts, but I can tell you why he thinks it's an angel. And if I were to photograph an angel, I believe this is how it would appear. And then Jeb Stuart, it's not just that he caught a guy in Civil War attire. It's this misty, ethereal thing, but it's on horseback, charging.
Oh, wow.
And Jeb Stuart, I guess, had a very different way of wearing his hat. It almost had that Robin Hood crest, the way it starts big in the back and comes to a point in the front. Mm-hmm. And you can see that. And then the way he's got his hand positioned, he's got his like left hand guiding the bridle, and then he's got the right hand in the air is a fist, and you see the sword, the cutlass, coming down at an angle. And, I asked him, I said, well, wouldn't they ride with the sword up? And he said, no, as they went into battle, they would ride with the sword pointing down. And sure as hell, if you look at this, it certainly looks like a man on horseback riding into battle, holding onto a cutlass. So it's a really intriguing looking ethereal, misty image. Like I said, I don't know if they're ghosts or just really, really well done breath, this mm-hmm. misty breath, but it's they're really cool. I'm going to see if I can get the gentleman to let me share them on our website, Ed, and share that along with it. Now, we do have a chat room, too, now. I want to let our listeners know, if you're listening online, if you're listening from anywhere where you have some computer access, if you go to darknessradio.com and click on the Pal Talk logo at the top of our page, it'll take you right to our chat room. It's free. It's easy to sign up. You can be a part of the chat room with us. I'm going to sign in there in a few seconds myself. And if you have, you can interact with us during the show. Tonight, we're going to be talking about Ouija boards again. I invited Karen Dahlman to come back because she had some fascinating stories. We touched on her work with the Ouija board in the past and how it helped her write a book. Afterwards, she was like, oh, did I ever mention I've talked to aliens and babies and she had all these amazing stories. So I'm suddenly like, I want to talk more about this, but I want to open up the phone line and we're going to do this a little later in the show. So jot down your phone number 651-989-5855, 651-989-5855. If you want to chime in on Ouija board, what are your thoughts on the Ouija board? If you want to challenge some of the conceptions that our guest brings out, if you have alternative stories, if you have dark stories, creepy encounters with the Ouija board, I want to hear about those as well. So we're going to give everybody a chance to talk tonight. and hear the different angles. And our guest certainly has no fear of butting heads or disagreeing or agreeing with anybody. So you're welcome to talk as long as we remain respectful on the show. So we're going to be talking about that here in a little bit. And just a lot of cool stuff coming up over the next couple of weeks for guests. We've been getting so many great requests and people pointing me in directions of guests. I think the next couple of weeks we're going to have some really fun shows. Next week, I'm waiting to hear back. I think Dr. Martin Obler will be joining us, and we'll be talking about one of my favorite real-life crime books, which was called Fatal Analysis, and it was one of the most chilling books I've ever read in my life. He was a psychologist working with a serial killer that was active, and you have to hear the story to believe it. We're going to touch on that. We're going to talk about a myriad of other cases he's worked on and different philosophies and theories he has. So
that'd be definitely an interesting read.
Yeah. I love, if you like real life crime books. Now I will tell you, this crime book reads like a horror movie for, you know, like a Silence of the Lambs horror novel, because it is so well written and there are so many horrific things that happen in it. It almost sounds like a movie.
And when it's real, it's even more
sounds even more terrifying. So we're going to be getting into that, and we've got a lot of cool stuff coming up. But keep the emails coming. If you have guests that you'd like to hear appear here on Darkness Radio, you know, ghosts, UFOs, Bigfoot, conspiracy theory, psychic phenomena, anything along those lines, feel free to let us know, chime in, and we will do our best to deliver the goods for you. Speaking of delivering the goods, everybody wants to know, where are the podcasts from last Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday? Well, as you know, we just got back from Gettysburg. We were out doing the Phenomenology 105 event, and there were three replay episodes. So three replay episodes aired last Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So therefore, they will not be part of the podcast canon, as they've already been a part of the podcast canon in the past. But we've got all brand new shows coming up for you here over the next couple of weeks. Sound like a good plan, Stanley?
Sounds like let's do it.
All right. Well, let's get into it with our guest here this evening. Karen Dahlman is returning to the show, and I love the way she signs her her emails and the way she works with Ouija boards. She is someone who considers herself a professional Ouijaologist and a Ouija board expert, and she specializes in Ouija therapy. So I want to talk to her a little bit about that and the information. And what exactly is Ouija therapy? Karen, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Dave. I think we have can you hear me?
My God, no. You're chopping up like Max Headroom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you hear us okay?
Not really. I sent you guys another number to call me on.
Yep. I'll disconnect with you, and we'll have Stan give you a call back and try to get you back on there, see if we can't get you on. So we'll be talking with Karen in a few minutes. Unfortunately, the phone systems have been giving us a lot of trouble, and with storms, I guess, going all across the United States, it's no big surprise that this is going on. Again, we do have a chat room now if you're interested in becoming a part of the chat room. It's free. You can sign in and be a part of it with us, and that way if you have any direct questions for our listeners, or I mean for our guests, you can be a part of that. The way you find it, very simple. Go right onto our website at darknessradio.com. And click on the link, and you'll be taken in. You can go in there. You can't join as a guest. That feature is really not available anymore. All you have to do is join now as a member. It takes all of about 10 seconds of your time to sign up. And once you're signed up, you're ready to go, and you are part of the live chat room with us. Let's see. Do we have Karen back on the line yet? He's still working on that. Let's talk a little bit about some of the other stuff that was going on at Phenomenology. Had a chance, again, to hang out with our buddies Rex Williams and Josh Gates from Destination Truth. And the guys deliver. We had a great time, a lot of laughs, a lot of fun times, and you know, just such down to earth guys. Hung out with the fans of Destination Truth all weekend, hanging out in the lobbies and in the meet and greet rooms, and really delivered. It was just it's a pleasure as always to hang with guys that you can tell actually love their job and love being a part of the community and working it through. Another surprise, and he's going to join us in a few weeks, was Tony Moran. And Tony Moran is kind of a cool story, Stan. Tony Moran was Michael Myers in the original classic Halloween. He played the Michael Myers. As a matter of fact, he's the only Michael Myers you ever see without his mask on.
Okay.
Except for the new reboots. But he's the only one in one scene when he and Jamie Lee Curtis.
Did you have him on? Because I swear it produced tonight when we had somebody from.
We had Kane Hodder on the show, who was Jason. And then we had Robert Englund on the show, who was Freddy Krueger. So we've had Dee Wallace on the show, and she was of course, on E.T. and The Howling, I think it was. And, you know, so we've had a lot of different celebrities that have been behind the mask at one point or another.
Big shots.
I know. Well, Tony Moran was great. We're going to actually have him on. He's going to tell some behind-the-scenes stories of filming the movie Halloween and how it came to be. So he, you know, very excited to hang and talk with us and wanted to join the show. I'll tell you what we're going to do right now. We're going to take our quick top-of-the-hour break, or this mid-break here, get it out of the way. So when we come back with Kieran Dahlman, we're ready to go. Stay tuned. More of the best in paranormal talk radio when we return. This is Darkness Radio. Good evening. Welcome back to the show. This is Darkness Radio, your home for the best in paranormal talk radio, five nights a week, Monday through Friday, 10 p.m. until midnight. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Joining me this evening, Stan, you are our producer, and you will fill in as my co-host. And you had an interesting question during the break. Go ahead and hit me with that, and we'll bring in our guest, sure, Kieran A. Dahlman, about that as well.
Sure, Kieran can probably answer this too, but I was just wondering, are Ouija boards still popular? Are they used a lot? Because I know when I was in junior high, you know, it seemed to be a big thing, and we'd have parties and we'd bust out the Ouija board and we'd sit around and kind of get all creeped out. You know, is that something? I mean, that was before the internet though, so, you know, kids got a lot more things to do now, but
well, yeah, I mean, from our show we've heard people that are still using the Ouija board. Parker Brothers is still selling them, you know, in considerable amounts. So I think that there's still some intrigue and interest. And let's face it, you know, it's been played up to be this dark, creepy, evil toy. You know, what kid doesn't want to mess around with that at one point?
Exactly. And that's exactly what it was for us. Yep.
Hidden taboos. But there are other sides of this. Kieran, I mean, do you find in the work you've done, you've been working with the Ouija board for over 40 years now, do you find that a lot of people are still closet Ouija board addicts and will finally admit it to you once you open up to them about what your interests are?
Absolutely, they do, Dave. A lot of people will ask me, you know, what my experiences are. Once they hear, they tend to share a little bit more of theirs. But what I find is that most people's experiences were just very limited to the sleepovers, you know, the fun games you had as a child, and maybe once in a while messing with it when they're a little bit older. But what I've also found is most of their experiences have been quite negative in terms of, you know, being scared or getting some weird, stressed out message.
And people that are doing that, I mean, we talked on the last time, a lot of it has to do with what we all call intent. And that's the way that you approach the Ouija board. That's the way you choose to make connection with the Ouija board. And now you go into it with the idea of contacting and using a light manner and kind of raising your vibrational tonality, if you will, before going into it. But you've told me you've had some creepy experiences with the Ouija board nonetheless, right?
That's absolutely correct. And I had those weird, strange experiences when I wasn't protecting myself and I wasn't using the intentions. You know, I had an experience that really changed the way I viewed the Ouija board and how it could be used for a different purpose than just a novelty item or fun and games and speaking to ghosts. And when that experience happened, it was a very emotional, kind of creepy, but a very profound experience that was my shifting point to how I use the Ouija and why I continue to use it. It was that profound and that was back when I was about 22 years old. So it was so profound that it continued with me for these last quite a few years. I should say that.
Well, working with the Ouija board, and we're going to open up phone lines here, and we want to hear differing points of view. If you believe that the Ouija board is truly evil and brings nothing but darkness, I'd like you to call in. Tell us why. Why do you believe that? What were your experiences with the Ouija board that led you to believe that? And as somebody who researches myself, you know, researches the Ouija board, researches paranormal activity, I'd love to hear it. And Kieran, as somebody who works with the Ouija board regularly, I know you said that you were always interested in hearing different aspects of the phenomena yourself. Now, when you're approached by a bunch of people that have told you scary scenarios or dark scenarios about the Ouija board, does that put you in any kind of position the next time you work the Ouija board that, you know, because you know it's kind of in the back of your mind, you've let it be there, does it ever then open up the conduit to some of the dark talk or negativity coming through, since that was just recently a part of your connection?
Well, absolutely not for me, but I can see how it could for some people. I have no fear of the Ouija at all. I never have. Even when I had some creepy things come through, it wasn't fear of the Ouija. It was fear of, there was some fear, trepidation of maybe the spirits I was talking to. But once I figured out the intent of how to set the intention for the board and how to change my vibration to so I can bring in the same like vibration or even higher vibrations is what I always ask for, I know there's a sense of safety for me behind it. However, again, it was been many, many years to get to that point of being able to use it on that level. But no, that doesn't scare me if somebody tells me a scary story. In fact, I welcome those because I'd like to hear, you know, what were they doing behind it? What were their thoughts? What was the approach to using the Ouija, and what were the intentions there for using it? Because then we can all learn and grow from that experience and see, you know, how we can use it differently the next time.
Well, now you put something on your signatures here on your emails. You sign it as a professional Ouijologist and that you specialize in Ouija therapy. Can you explain to me and to the listeners, what is Ouija therapy?
Well, I'm so glad you asked because I say that with a laugh and a chuckle because I call it that because the way I use Ouija now is based on a kind of a therapeutic way of working with people and the board. My background is a therapist. I'm a licensed professional counselor. I'm a registered art therapist. I'm also a master's degree art psychotherapist. So for many years I practiced therapy. And so for me to work with something that's kind of out there on the edge and I realize that people's emotions are affected, people's soul, spirit, mind, body's affected, I can't help but do it in a therapeutic way. So when I see that, what I do is when I work with the board with somebody, we do it as a way to find some kind of growth, some kind of evolution, some kind of understanding about themselves, just like you would maybe in a therapy session. I mean, therapy is not to get worse, it's to get better, hopefully, if you're with a good therapist. And so my experience with the board with people with me is to always find a way to evolve and grow and learn and expand. That's it, consciousness to expand, and that's why I call it like a therapeutic tool.
When you've got the ability to make these kind of connections, there are friends of ours that are tarot readers. There are friends of ours that are tea readers. There are friends of ours that read palms and, you know, phrenology, read the bumps on your head and Ouija board. Do you use this as, do you ever think maybe this is a crutch, Karen, and that really you already have that information, you're getting it psychically and use the Ouija board as an outlet for you so maybe you don't take the creative brunt if the information is wrong?
That's a good way of asking it, a good way of putting it. Yes and no. I would say, yes, it probably is a crutch and could be a crutch. And in fact, my spirit friends have told me that I don't need to use it. But I still use it. I like to do it with other people, and I like them to have experience of doing it. So I kind of think of myself almost as a guide with this other realm because I don't just talk to ghosts, dead people, and spirits, as you know. I talk to many different kinds of consciousness. And to go in those areas, it's I'm very comfortable with it. So I like to have the experiential of somebody else doing it with me. Yes, I put the board down and I can go right in and talk to my guides and spirits and angels and get all kinds of information. But it's a different level, different way of working when I pull the board out. I do it both ways now, but I don't rely on Ouija as much as I might have used to. But now Ouija has become an extension of just another technique or tool to use to get to the other consciousnesses.
Have you ever considered using like an angel board, which is exactly the same thing? It just has a much brighter, shinier PR name to it.
Yeah. In fact, I have tried an angel board before. I've tried all different kinds of boards. And let me tell you what else I've tried. You'll like this one. I've taken a paper sack, opened it up, and drawn my own board on it before. Put the numbers on there and letters and yes and no and goodbye and pulled out a cocktail glass, turned upside down, and done Ouija that way. So I don't even need a board. It's very interesting. You could do it with anything. And
well, that makes a good point then, because a lot of people feel they need to bond with their equipment or their tools, and some people will get great response on their Ouija board, but if they go use another one, it flatlines. There's no energy to it. That's, you know, there's nothing going on. Do you find that that's true in some cases? I mean, you just said you can, you know, draw one out on a paper bag and it works.
I do that quite often if people want to do it, and I don't have one near me. Well, I do have one that I really enjoy using the most, so there is a bond with that. It's the one that I got when I was 8 years old. And, in fact, it's sitting right here. I that's the one I use the most. And I would say it's because I'm used to using that tool, and all my friends on the other side are out in consciousness are used to using it. Although I do have quite a collection of Ouija boards, and I pull different ones out from time to time, but It's true, though, when you start using some of these other boards, there's a different vibration. You know, everything is made out of these molecules that vibrate at a very rapid speed. And if that vibration is not quite tuned in to me or to the person or just to my environment that I'm in, it doesn't seem to work as well. The connection to the other side is based on the operator, because the operator has got to have a comfort level and the tools that he or she likes to use, and then the energy, the communication come through better. It's easier for the other consciousness it's hard for them to come through into our realm, for them to know that I'm comfortable. So I think it's more of a comfortability level, while we might stick with some of the tools that we've actually changed the vibration as well, but it's a comfort level that's something we've used for a while and we know it's going to work.
That makes a great point too, when you're talking about making this connection and, you know, everybody kind of coming at it from different angles. Can people block you? If Stan, who is sitting here, just does not believe in this part of the paranormal, thinks Ouija boards are ridiculous, if he's there working the Ouija board with you, will it stop it from conveying a message because his belief system is not a part of it? Or does spirit not care whether you believe because it is there and it'll make it happen anyway?
Well, I would first tell Stan to knock it off, but yes, he could. He could influence it, and people in the room can influence it. In fact, it's happened before. A person on the board operating with me can definitely influence it, as I can too, in terms of maybe not being of, let's say, I'm tired, or the person I'm doing with is tired. The energy is going to drag. It's both got to come to it with you know, positive, good energy. But if the other person in the room is sitting there, a third or fourth person, may have something, big issue going on, the energy, that's going to suck a little bit of the energy. It's not going to suck as much as Stan was doing it with me. But if he's sitting there with I don't like this, and his arms are crossed, yes, he will influence to a degree. He will influence it. The way it works, it's very sensitive to people's energies, and so the energies that are surrounded in that room, because we're so open to the board, and it senses all those energies that are there, because that person is now part of the circle. Regardless of the touch of the board, regardless of the touch of the planchette, just the fact that they're in the circle that we've included them in.
All right, we have to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk more with our guest. Karen has written a book called The Spirit of Creativity, Embodying Your Soul's Passion by Karen A. Dahlman. That's Karen A. Dahlman, Dahlman. You can find it on Amazon.com. You'll find all of the information there about her book, how you can order it. And she actually used Ouija board to help her in the creation of this book. And I'm sorry, do you have another website as well, Karen, people can visit?
People can link with me on Facebook. I'm very open to bring people in, and they can learn about where I'm speaking and what kinds of things are coming up next for me and Ouija.
All right. And how do they find you on Facebook?
Well, go ahead and look up Karen A. Dahlman on Facebook, and you'll find me.
Great. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more Darkness Radio right after this. Welcome back to the show. This is the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Ouija board, highway to hell, or portal to a more open consciousness. Our guest this evening, Karen A. Dahlman. We had her a few weeks back talking about her book, The Spirit of Creativity, Embodying Your Soul's Passion, and her journey with the Ouija board. She is returning tonight to share some of her stories with us. And different types of encounters, because I don't know about you, Stan, you know, you always think of the Ouija board, you think about the fact that you're just talking to the dead, mm-hmm. trying to communicate with Elvis, JFK, you know, Hitler, Mussolini, you want to find out about our history, about our rich history, but the Ouija board has been used in so many different ways. And would you have even considered trying to communicate with alien intelligence with a Ouija board?
I guess I never did that one, no. But
right.
We just ask, you know, typical stupid teenager questions, you know.
Sure.
Who's dying tonight or who's dying this weekend?
Wow.
You know, stuff like
were,
that.
Were they ever right, Stan?
No, thankfully.
All right.
Yes.
That's good.
But
that's
that was good. One thing I was going to ask Karen. Does she use this more as a supplement maybe to maybe either make people feel more comfortable or more relaxed because she's not just drilling them with, you know, psychiatry questions, you know, so to speak, or is it something that she uses in addition to enhance her other therapies?
Well, I'm no longer practicing therapy at this point, and so when I do it, it's not somebody's going to be for therapy. I want to be real clear about that. When we do it, it's more like people have questions they want to ask, and they are questions like, I want to speak to somebody who's passed on, or I want to know how my animal's doing on the other side. And then I say, well, you know, you could talk to your animal right now that's alive. And I'll say, you know, you can talk to so-and-so, your best friend in another state, if their higher self will let you talk to them. So then we start, and they're like, wow. So it's really not so much therapy like, oh, let's get better. It's therapy in terms of, and therapy is used very loosely here, it's used in terms of, let's explore how big the world is, how far consciousness goes. Let's explore what goes, how the great beyond goes, and how we can really take our own energies and learn to communicate with things that are unseen, beyond what we can even fathom. You know, like you're talking about aliens, or I might call them entities. I tend to call everything out there that I speak to as entities, because there's so many different levels of entities. The other thing I use the board for it's more like education. I mean, I should call it Ouija education, because it's really about what levels of consciousness are out there. And I also learn from their side what happens to us before life, and the life that we know it today, and what happens when we die, and what happens in between lives, and is there such a thing as in between lives, and are there different levels and planes of existence, and is there such things as soul consciousness and collective souls, and on and on and on it goes, and that's where it gets really mind-blowing and really kind of exciting. So that's how I use it. I tend to use it to help people just really grow their spirituality and know that there's so much more they can tap into, and that really they are part of that they tap into as well. Because actually, as you know, everything's really all connected.
But actually communicating with somebody who's alive and conscious and just in another state or another country, if their higher consciousness allows you to, do you ever do that and they realize that you're doing that from a distance? They get that flutter or that tingle and know that somebody's reaching out to them in an ethereal way or a spiritual or connected way like that?
Well, just so you know, I respect everybody's boundaries, and actually all that my friends on their side do too. So we wouldn't do it unless we asked that person we're going to do it. But yes, sometimes they say, God, I my ears are burning. But it's because I've asked permission, and they knew I was going to do it anyway. And they usually know what day I'm going to do it or what time, and they kind of know something's going on. But, you know, the other piece of that is, too, we can't spy on anybody with this tool. It's really what your soul is willing, or your consciousness, in this case, Dave, is willing to go ahead and allow to come out. And most of the time, if you can tap into yourself and really get to know yourself inside, your higher self, your intuition, your gut feelings, if you can get to know it, there's really an answer in there for yourself anyway. Sometimes it just helps people to find that answer. And they're going to say to me, well, I knew that anyway. Well, yeah, duh, of course you did, but you haven't been saying it to yourself. So really, that's the therapeutic part of it again. It'll clarify some things. And it'll induce the dialogue between that person and their soul, or that person and myself, or whoever, to begin going, wow, I did know that about myself, but I just haven't been expressing that. Or, God, I didn't know I could do that, but I kind of thought that maybe I should pursue that as a career option. It's things like that, and that's kind of what comes out when you talk to somebody's higher soul.
Well, and so. I mean, you understand how the brain works. You work in therapy and help people out. And one of our guests in chat, Sam's Bear, says, you know, food for thought, what about just micro muscle movements due to unconscious thought making the planchette move, a type of mental pareidolia that lets you see what you want to see in the board's messages? I mean, that's the number one skeptic's choice for the belief of how the Ouija board works. And, you know, straddling the line between psychology and metaphysical nature, how are you so sure that it isn't just those little blips and blops from your own finger and that energy pushing it along to give the answers that you would expect or believe in?
Well, that's really a great point that your listener brought up. And and I applaud him for asking that question. Yeah, that's called idiomotor movements, and you're correct. It's like an automatic movement that can come out of your own body. That can happen, and usually, typically, when that tends to happen, it doesn't necessarily spell things correctly. It could be really like a lot of gibberish. It'll move around the board, but it doesn't quite get somewhere. So sometimes you don't always know if that's what's happening, but what I've learned, too, is as I've been doing it for quite some time and as I got better and better at using it and really trusting myself as I use it and knowing that I'm using it, you know, with the correct intent and the right vibration, all that stuff, I find that you begin to get messages that kind of blow your mind. They're kind of way out there. Things you might not have thought of. And I guess your listener could still say, well, maybe that's coming from your higher self. Well, maybe it is. But I'm going to respond and say, if it is, and it's a good answer, when I say good, I hate to judge it, but an answer that's going to help me grow and evolve, I'm willing to accept that. I'm going to say, I don't believe that that's what I'm doing. I don't believe that because I can tell you a great story when I was blindfolded before. Now, maybe you can see when your eyes are shut or blindfolded and you can get complete sentences and you can get those letters correct. I don't know. That's quite a feat. And that really was my turn. When I had this experiment we did, both people being blindfolded and we had another person writing and it went so fast around the board, there's just no way in heck I could have hit those letters accurately without being able to see anything and neither could my partner.
But let me ask you this. I'm going to put you on the deal. You're going faster and faster, so I got to interrupt you. I apologize to be able to fit in a question. But
yeah, go ahead.
Here's my thought on that. I never have any formal training in typing. So my problem in believing that there's no way as a blindfolded person you could use the Ouija board, I would call BS on that because in the mere fact that I have no keyboard training, but I can sit here and type probably a 20-page article without once looking down at the keyboard, and I will get about 95% of it right, and thank God for spell check, it'll fix the rest of it. So when you've used the Ouija board for 40 years, your mind knows where these letters and figures are on the board. So even if you don't think that you're able to see it and do that, I still have to think motor memory and you know, your subconscious is still very aware of where those letters are. And I bet push come to shove, if I sat there in front of you and had you point with your finger with your eyes closed, you could probably know exactly where all the, and again, they don't scramble them like they do on a keyboard. It's pretty easy to find those letters on a Ouija board.
Yeah, well, I too am very good at typer, and because I've been on it for many years, and you write the letters are where they need to be, and there's a feeling, there's actually, you know, a three-dimensional feeling, and I have like a Mac, and I have laptops and all these different little, you know, things, but I could tell you right now, think about this, Dave, if you have one of those screen keyboards, which I do on my little Slate tablet I have, when I try to type that, or even on my phone, and those keyboards don't move around, I couldn't do it. But let me tell you about this experiment. This experiment happened when I was 22. At that point, I've been doing the Ouija board since I was 8. I was using it as a novel game. It was nothing that I'd ever really, I shouldn't say that at that point I had really perfected it, where I have not done that blindfold experiment since then. I don't feel like at that point, I didn't feel like I ever needed to. I guess I should, probably should try it again sometime. But I was 22 then and had not had all that level of experience doing it. So that might change it as well. But, you know, I would be willing to try that experiment again and see how well it goes. Because I see it differently as a keyboard. Keyboard, you feel it, it's three-dimensional. And if it's not three-dimensional, I know I couldn't type without looking at the keyboard. You know, like you do on your phone or a Slate tablet.
Okay. Well, and again, like I said, that's just my feel on it. If somebody, especially that's worked with it for 40 years, I bet you'd be more surprised than you would understand to just realize, even though I understand you get the feel of the keys and you kind of know the mapping of it, when you're typing, I'm willing to bet dollars to donuts, there's still a lot of muscle memory in your hand and in your mind to knowing where that board is set up. I would be more intrigued to blindfold you, put that board on your lap and spin it a bunch of times and then leave it where it lays and see where you come up with messages at that point. We're going to take another quick break. We'll come back. Karen Dahlman has more stories to share. As a matter of fact, we're going to hear an emotional 9/11 story when we return. Stay tuned. More of the best in Paranormal Talk Radio as we explore communicating through the Ouija board with Karen Dahlman right after this. Good evening. Welcome back to the show. This is Darkness Radio, and I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Our guest this evening, Karen Dahlman. She has written a book called The Spirit of Creativity, Embodying Your Soul's Passion, a book that she wrote in part with the help of the Ouija board. Tonight we're talking with her, and no, this isn't a rerun. I know we spoke to her a few weeks ago, but tonight we're going to have her share some more of her stories and experiments and things that she's done. I know that you briefly touched on the fact, Karen, that you did an experiment blindfolded, and I took you off on a different tangent with my question about the fact that I think maybe your brain may have mapped that board better than you consider, but tell us a little bit about the blindfold experiment that you did.
Yeah, I'd love to. Thank you. So this is how the story went in a nutshell. Two people, myself and another person, who tend to do the board pretty well with me. We were sitting together. I was in a sorority, in our sorority house, and a bunch of the gals came down and wanted to see us do this work. And at that time, I felt like maybe I had to prove something to these people who thought this was demonic or bad. And I said, no, it's not bad. It's just kind of fun. Let's see what happens. So I said, let's blindfold ourselves. And we did, and there was no peeking. And the other thing about being blindfolded on a planchette, you don't have your fingers spread across the board where you know your finger width and distance to reach a key. You're on a planchette where, yeah, I know A's on one side, N's on the other, but I couldn't get the G, H, and I exactly correct, or the M and N, you know, because they're kind of in the middle. But anyway, we were blindfolded, and I just said, whatever message needs to come through, please come through. Now, I had a third person sitting there who was doing the writing, and it starts, the planchette starts moving quite rapidly around the board. And there's probably about 10 people in this room watching, and it's going so fast, I am having a hard time keeping my fingers on it, and I'm just doing the best I can. And what I hear all of a sudden is, oh, what? And then I hear some crying, and the board goes on, and I say, can we continue this? And everybody says yes, and we're still moving, and it's going fast. I have no idea what it's spelling, in my mind. And then it stops. And I pull my blindfold off, so does my partner. And I had the person who had the message read it. And the message in a nutshell, and I saw somebody crying. I won't say names, but these people may be listening to the show, and they do remember this experience. So the person started reading it, and what it said was this. Hi, so-and-so. I am fine. Please tell Mom and Dad that we are fine. My boyfriend's here with me as well. And when we died in that car wreck, I went, wait, who died in the car wreck? Turns out the gal sitting there had a sister who was dead, who died several years earlier. I didn't know she had another sister who had died. That's kind of the weird part now, too. So the message goes on and says, we at impact, we were not affected. We were not hurt. Did not hurt us. The only thing we felt that was emotional and hurt us was the sadness everybody felt when we moved on and how sad you all were that we were lost at such a young age and at the funeral. However, tell Mom and Dad, and you too need to know that you are loved. We are with you always. We will be together again, and we are waiting for you on the other side. And we love you so much. And at that point, I mean, there was not a dry eye in the room, including myself. It was very emotional, and it became quite solemn. Everybody walked out of the room quite quiet with not too many comments to say. I was at that point blown away, and I realized how this could touch somebody on a deeper level where they were holding all this emotion, meaning the person sitting there, and did go back and tell her parents and her other sister who survived this gal and her boyfriend who died in a horrific car wreck. Car wreck, and was able to have some kind of release and be able to have a chance to talk about it again. So that's when I knew things would change for me and how I used the board.
Have you ever considered using the board blindfolded with somebody and nobody else there, just having a video camera down so that it can remark on what letters you're pointing to and that so that you know it's not being influenced by anybody else's thought process in the room?
I absolutely would. Absolutely. That's a great suggestion. I'm writing this one down.
Yeah, just interesting. Now, have you worked at all with Rosemary Ellen Guiley in her research with Ouija?
I have not, but I heard her speak the other day on a show.
Right. Ouija Gone Wild is the name of one of her books that she just had out not too long ago in talking about the stories and the nature of Ouija board and her experiences. And I know she's done some experiments and so on. I would love to pair you two and have you work together on creating some new experiments with Ouija board to see if, in fact, you can tap into things and create something together. That just to me would be fascinating, as she seems to have, she holds the communication in very high regards as well. I know she was originally one of the people slated to do the live Ouija board experiment on Coast to Coast
yes,
a number of years ago.
So, yeah, I heard him speak the other day on George's show, and he mentioned my work with Luigi to her, and she said yes, absolutely, that she recognized that was real, the kinds of experiments and experiences I've had, and she also concurred that that's her experience as well, and I think that would be a great opportunity because I know she knows how to do it on this level, and she's open to it. I definitely welcome that, Dave. Great idea.
Great, yeah. Well, it'd be great to communicate with you too on that. Let's talk. I know before the break I mentioned that you've got an emotional story to share with our listeners regarding 9/11. Why don't you go ahead and tell us what happened in that story?
This one still grabs me when I think about it and when I talk about it. I actually found the page. It's from 9/16. This was 5 days after 9/11 happened. One of my brothers came out to visit me, and I was living in San Clemente, where I live right now, in California. And he was at the planes were able to take off after several days, right? And so he flew out to see me, and we got on the board. And he's one of the people that I've done the board with, and it works really well with him, really, really well. So we got on the board, and we had a few other people in the room with us, and this is what happened. I have it verbatim right here in front of me. I'm going to read it from this date, 9/16. Right after 5 days after 9/11, it said, Joe T. is here. I miss my mom and sister dead. I just died recently. I'm only 9. My mom, where's dad? There was a big sound in the street. My mom's job, it was in New York City. Oh, there's lots of black. I can't breathe. My friends are here. I hear voices. I can't move. It's black. I hear noises. My friends. And then he says, Bart is breathing. He needs a blanket. He wants his mom. He's only 6 years old. He says, dark, and he hears noises. And then he left, and that's all I heard. It ended.
Wow. Now, when you get a message like that, how does that impact you?
Oh, it still impacts me. Well, I'll tell you what I did. This is another reason why I call it therapy. Wow, I still feel the feelings of that. And I read it with the emotion that I felt. Because I'm so tuned to the board, I actually see things, images, when they talk.
Right.
And I actually feel their feelings. A lot of times, and I'm feeling it right now reading it, but I felt it then. Immediately, I go into a space of, let me help you. It will be okay. Do you see any light around you? I do a whole thing where I try to comfort them. Now, to make somebody feel good, it's not the people on this side, it's the people on that side.
Right. Now, when you're reaching out to them that way, though, Karen, are you reaching out telepathically to them speaking, or are you saying it out loud?
Out loud, and the board's moving still, and they will communicate as a third person there on the board while I'm talking to him. And during this part, I was speaking to him, and I said something like, "Who else is there?" And that's when he said, "Bart is breathing. He needs his blanket. He wants his mom. He's only 6 years old." Oh, then he said he can't make sounds, so he knew he was probably dying. And so I comforted him. I said, "Please, you know, send your love and light to him, and your mom will be there with you soon, and your dad will too, and just go to the light of the light." And I remember going through this with this child, and all of a sudden, you know, and he was gone. And I knew at that point, you know, his breath, he must have just died. And I remember I sat there with the people in the room, and everybody was, again, another emotional moment.
Sure.
And I felt like I had to do kind of a talk about it, like what just happened, and kind of talk people down as well and make them feel a little more comfortable in what we just did. And that was important, what we just did, that we could help some soul possibly pass through the other side to little children that were nothing but just scared.
Our guest this evening, Karen Dahlman, and we're discussing the work with the Ouija board and communication, opening up to other types of communication. Now, you talk about the higher consciousness in doing this, and I guess I'm getting pounded from questions here in the private message on Facebook and Twitter and chat, and wanting to know, then, were you able to locate the name of the child that was coming through to you as part of the record of the dead from 9/11?
I have not, and I definitely welcome anybody to. One kid's name was Joe T., so he gave me, another kid was Bart. I did not confirm it. I confirm quite a bit of the stuff I do, and I've had experiments where they come to me and give me names and addresses, and they tell me they're lost, and I go follow the address, for example, and I end up at a funeral home, and they're stuck in the dark, and then I go back to the board, and I bring the board with me, and I talk to them, I help release them. They don't know where they are, and I've had experiments like that. So there are a lot that I follow up with. This one was very emotional, and I almost just was paralyzed by it at the time. Couldn't move on that one. That was a tough one.
I would guess. Well, let me see. You let me see here. And you had which two names? Joe T. and a Bart?
Bart, B-A-R-T.
All right. According to this, it says, the sad truth is a handful of children died in the 9/11 attacks. It's ironic that all of the children on the planes were going one of two places. either a Scholastic Academic Convention or Disneyland. The list I just found, and I don't know if this is just the list of children that were aboard the plane or that were in the buildings, but I show Bernard Curtis, who would be the closest to like a BART and maybe what was coming through. And I don't show a Joe T on here, but I'm looking just at a list, again, trying to Google it quickly as we speak. And I'll continue to do a little research during the top of the hour break to see if there are any names of the children that that did pass away from that. We're going to have to take our top of the hour break here in a few seconds and go back. Explain real quickly about your book in about a minute to let our listeners know what they can find in the counsel of your book.
Great. Yeah, The Spirit of Creativity, Embodying Your Soul's Passion was written quite a few years ago and just was recently published. It was a book that I wrote that really talks about the spirituality of how to deepen yourself into really crafting the life of your dreams, as well as beginning to learn more about yourself in terms of who you are, your purpose in life, where you're going, and just expanding your soul. And in terms of learning to, you know, maybe do this, talk to your angels or guides. And Ouija did help me. It was like my Ouija friends were, I would say, like colleagues. I'd go back to them and ask them some questions. They'd say, hey, deepen this and talk about this subject. I was just going through my notes, and I was looking at my notes from that time when I wrote this book, and I hadn't pulled these notes out in maybe, I don't know, a few years. But, yeah, they were very clear in what they wanted me to look at and to go further in the book. So the book, you're going to get more, not going to talk about the Ouija in the book, but you're going to get a lot of succinct tactics and tools to use to get into yourself a little bit further and deepen your experience in the world.
All right, Karen A. Dahlman is our guest. You can find her book at Amazon.com, The Spirit of Creativity, Embodying Your Soul's Passions. Stay tuned. We've got more Ouija talk and more exploration on the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Darkness Radio.